Can you hear me? Is this thing on? Oh, that's the difference. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. All rise. Thank you, Jesus. Is that better? Okay. Snap, crackle, and a pop. How's that? I've been staying up for a while. It's my custom that whenever I get to stand before people and give the word of the Lord to them, share it, whether it be funerals or weddings or getting to preach, I always start out every sermon or every service with praise God, hallelujah, and amen. And I want everybody to do it together because we're going to agree on something. All right? Man, I'm just shaking all over right now. So on the count of three, say it so the car is going down the road, want to know what the heck that was, and want to pull in and find out what we're doing. We want to say it loud enough to where the angels want to come down and be in with us. They're already here. But we want to pack this place out with them too. And we want to say it loud enough and sincerely enough that our Lord receives it gratefully. Gracious Lord God. One, two, three.
Praise God!
Before I start, I'm in a little bit of conflict right now. My granddaughter's at the ER. The enemy is a liar. He's a thief. And he deserves what he's going to be getting. Conflict, but I know where I'm supposed to be.
Amen.
And I've already sent the angels and asked the Lord to be with my granddaughter. And I've already lifted her up before the throne and asked for her healing. The enemy can't get to me. He's going to go to my loved ones, just like he does with y'all. And I'm tired of that. I'm tired of seeing the sickness. I'm tired of seeing people attacked by the enemy, left and right. And then when we start standing up and standing in our position as sons and daughters of Christ Jesus and put the enemy back under our feet, this is going to keep happening. This thing work now? Okay.
Just I am shaking in my boots, literally. Last week, I went to Florida. This ain't gonna keep me in one place, all right? I went to Florida, to Miami. Miami's beautiful this time of year. I really wouldn't know, though. From sunup, sundown, I was in class. I went to hear a pastor teach on divine healing. And everything he taught me and taught us is nothing that I didn't already know. I just had never seen it trained and taught with the authority it was taught with. I've never seen it laid out so succinctly across the Bible from the Genesis to Revelation. And backed up the word was backed up by 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 the word. Never seen that before. The guy came in. Little guy. Came in and saw and stature, but he almost hit his head on the roof coming in. This guy came in like Pat. He came in and you could feel the authority, command, presence when that man walked in. Walked in, walked up, and everyone went, and he started teaching. Started sharing the word. Gave us some instances of his life. He'd lost a daughter, a very young daughter. And he's called for help from all these different pastors and stuff across the nation that he had known. And none of them would help him. And he lost a young daughter. And he said right then that he's going to make that the most costliest life to the enemy that he could make. He was going to make the enemy pay and pay and pay. And how is he going to do that? Because he's going to get in the word and learn it. And then he was going to go out and lay hands and pray for people and see them recover. I don't know how many of y'all have ever heard of John G. Lake. He lived to turn the last century up to about 1935. He went and prayed for a lot of people. Just in Spokane, Washington alone, over 100,000 certified healings. He was being sued all the time for practicing medicine without a license. A hospital shut down because there was no one going to the hospital. That's the way it should be. A man of God or a daughter of God should be able to walk up and walk into any hospital and clear it out. Yeah. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's not the way it is. Until we start walking in the authority that we've been given, going to be that way. Richard, do me a favor. Pass out one of these to everybody. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not yourselves, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any one should boast. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by. Faith comes by. Faith comes by. And hearing by the word of God. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. the evidence of things not seen. Romans 1:17. For in it the righteousness of God, is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Just about everybody got one? Has everybody got one now? Oh, getting back here, back, please. What's just been passed out is a mustard seed. It's not even big as a BB. Everybody see that? Everybody hold that up? That's how much faith you need. You use more faith when sitting in these chairs this morning, or actually driving down the road to come here. And if you're on 35, it always takes faith. And grace and mercy. And also something to put in your mouth, because you tend to get excited sometimes. Parable of the mustard seed. And another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed was the least of all seeds. When it grew, grown, is greater of the herbs, and becomes a tree. And the birds of the air come and rest in its branches. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. Amen. What does that say? What is your mountain today? What's your mountain? Sickness? Finances? A rogue family member? Unbelief. What's your mountain? Now that I've done the preamble, what do you believe? Everybody turn to Mark chapter 16, please, if you got your word with you. Or whatever device that you have.
Mark what? 16.
Mark 16. Starting verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink of any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working in them and confirming the word with signs following. What does that mean? And these signs shall follow them that believe. What's belief? Faith. How much faith do you need? You have it in your hand. That's an outward sign of an inward happening. I wanted to make sure that everybody had a seed. Because I know then that you do have faith. Why? Not because I just gave it to you. Because you received it from God. You can look at that seed. See, man, that's a little bitty thing. That's a little bitty thing. But that one seed, when it goes into the ground and dies, what happens? It starts to grow. And it grows into a mighty bush. And a mustard is a very powerful tasting product. Why, in Texas, it'd be illegal to go to Whataburger and get one without mustard on it. Yankee State's a little bit different. They don't understand what mustard is. Down here, we know what mustard is. It's on just about every burger we get. Matthew 17. And when they were come to the multitude, and there was and came to him a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic, and he's sore vexed, and oft times he's fallen into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and it departed out of him, and the child was cured that very hour. Then came to him the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. For verily I say to you, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to the mountain, remove henceforth yonder, and it shall be removed. And nothing shall be impossible to you. However, this kind goeth out by prayer and fasting. prayer and fasting. Actually, the word fasting was added in there somewhere during between the 12th and 14th century by a Bible transcriber to show more piety. But by prayer and fasting, how much do you pray? Besides getting on 35 or 635 and 75. I know drivers that pray all day long, just going from one spot to the next that they get there safely. Mark 7, making the word God of none effect through your tradition. And ye have delivered how much things ye do, do ye. What do you believe? What do you believe? Went over faith. Gave you a mustard seed. What do you believe? Do you believe the word of God is correct?
Amen.
You better be if you're a Baptist. You better be if you believe in of God. He gave us his word so we could understand. Said that he made it simple.
Amen.
Dude and dudesses, I'm pretty simple. I don't have a high IQ education type stuff. But I'm smart enough to know the word. I'm smart enough to read it and understand what he says. This you can do and this you don't do. I'm smart enough to know that when he says I can go out and pray for people and they will receive the healing and recover,
amen,
that they will receive the healing and recover.
Amen.
Don't need a PhD for that. It's pretty simple. Someone needs prayer? Go pray for them.
Yeah.
Do they have to be right here in front of me right now for that to happen? No. Let me give you an example. Ernest Borgnine comes up to Jesus. No. This centurion comes up to Jesus and says, "Somebody pray, heal my servant." And Jesus says, "All right, I'll go." And he says, "No. You don't have to go. For I am a man of authority. Just as you are." He recognized the authority that Christ was walking in. A Gentile. A Goyim. A Roman at that. Recognized the authority Christ had. And said, just speak the word. Just speak the word. And my servant will be healed. What did Christ say? I have never seen such faith. Such faith as this. Another time. Phoenician woman. I think I got that right. This woman comes to Jesus. And says, "Lord, heal my daughter." And Jesus basically called her dog and said, "You know, this is for the children. This is not for the dogs." And she said, "Yes, Master. Yes, Lord. But even the dogs eat the crumbs off the master table." Jesus said, "Your daughter will be healed at the same hour." What faith have I just seen? Two times in the Old, in the New Testament does he say what great faith there is. And they weren't even Jews. I have never seen such great faith. This one and that one. Was the servant there with him? No. Was the daughter there with him? No. But because he spoke it, your words are living words, or your words are death. You can speak life into people through the words that comes out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Or you can speak death to the people.
That's
right. From the words come out of your mouth. One of the reasons for our failures for getting people healed. There's pretty much two. First one, unbelief. Do you really think that will happen? Do you think that if this guy came down and laid hands on me right now and prayed for me that I would get healed? I do. Even before I went to this, I've seen things in my lifetime walking with Christ. I have seen short legs grown longer. I've seen people on their deathbed get up and move. I've seen people that were deathly ill recover unexplicably. Doctors say, I don't know. It had to be somebody else, higher authority than we were. A lot of times the doctors say, we just don't know. Second one is traditions. Or also known as sacred cows. Living in India, there's sacred cows everywhere. People are starving to death and there goes a hamburger right in front of you. I think I'd wait till about nighttime when no one else is around. And I'd find me that hamburger. What about reincarnation? I'll worry about that later. But we're eating tonight. Traditions. Well, we just don't do that in our church. We just don't do that in our church. We don't stand up. We don't say, praise God, hallelujah, and amen in our church. We come in like we've just washed our face in vinegar to show our piety. We'll come in and we'll sit down and we won't move and don't nobody sit in my seat. Because you're breaking my tradition. That's where I sit. You're going to have to move. And if you don't move, I will leave out of this place and I will never come back. And I will talk bad about you all the days of your life. Don't anybody say, oh me. Or oh my. It's unbelief. What's a sacred cow? It's a belief or tradition that were held regardless of the truth. Regardless of the truth, it's something we believe, and doggone it, we're sticking with it. I came in here with that, and I'm going to leave out of here with that. I don't care what that boy said for the last 45 minutes. Ain't going to change me. That's who I am. Oh, ha, ha, ha. Walk out here as John Wayne. Which is pretty bad when you come in as Miss Abigail. It keeps people in bondage, even allows sickness and death to be accepted rather than change. I want to ask you something right now. I want y'all to really think about it before. An example. It's God's will that I be sick. It's God's will that I carry this burden. Well, God's trying to teach me something. God's trying to teach me something by making me sick. That ain't my God. To say that God is using sickness and diseases to teach me something is to say that the Holy Spirit, the sickness comes from the Holy Spirit. That we're made sick. Trying to teach us something. Then we get down to the book of Job. And everybody says, well, look at Job. Well, let's look at Job. Job didn't even have a covenant with God. Job was before the first covenant. Do y'all realize that? Do you realize that Job was before the first covenant, even before the covenant was made with Abraham, was Job? You got that? And was it God that went and made him sick? Attacked him? No. It was Asatan, the enemy, the devil, Satan. He proved to be a righteous man anyway, didn't he? And he got back everything he lost and then some. Pretty funny. Everybody wants to point to Job. Well, let's look at Job. Think about that for a second. Is it God's will that you become sick? But if you become sick, you're going to start praying and ask people to pray for you, right? So therefore, it's God's will that you get sick. What was that? The word is no. I want to tell you something real quick here. It's coming, believe me. Has everybody in here chose Christ Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior? Yes. Has everybody in here done that? Yes. So if you chose Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior, you've been adopted into what? You've been made sons and daughters of the Most High, that therefore we can cry out, Abba, Father. If we are sons and daughters of the Most High, then where is the enemy? Under where? Our feet. Right now we act like we're under his feet. Because we don't know any better, we allow the enemy to trample over us. Because we allow the enemy to trample over us and get into our life, he makes us sick. He causes us not to have the things that we're supposed to have. If it was not God's will that you be healed and whole, then he would never send his son. If it was not God's will that we live righteously, prosperously, and in good health, he would never send his son. Think about that for a second. Let that sink in. He never would have sent his son. Why? Because by his stripes we were what? Healed. Talked about this morning. Isaiah 53, by his stripes we are healed. Yes. Psalms 103, by his stripes we are healed. Okay. Let's go into 1 Peter. By his stripes we, what? Were healed. By his stripes we were healed. To receive healing, all you have to do is ask. All you have to do is stand upon what his word says. Did he not give us his word? Did he not give us his word? Has he not made sure that it stayed pretty much the same all through history? Now, some of these modern translations get a little bit out there. Created something anyway. But he gave us his son. He took 39 lashes. There's 39 major diseases in the world. The 40th being death. He took death. First he paid for our health by taking all those beatings. Even so much so that where Pontius Pilate said, "Behold the man." He paid for your health first. Then he went to the cross. And when he was on the cross, he paid for your sins. My sins, your sins, the whole world's sins were laid upon him. So much so that the Father couldn't even look at him. Father, why have thou forsaken me? The word says God cannot look upon sin. At that moment, he took everything. But praise God, hallelujah, in the end. He did say, it is finished. Amen. Paid in full. That one day that I might be sitting in a church chasing a woman and find God. That where God would send a couple angels down and hold me down and wouldn't let me get up. When I started freaking out seeing people get healed. That I had turned to her and say, "What is going on? I can't move." And then she's asking me, "What's wrong with my ears?" Came to a realization. Said, "God, if this is you, I believe." He said, "It's me." What does it take for you to get healed? Whew, got quiet. Not even the crickets are talking. It takes. Does it even take your faith? No is a good answer. How much faith did Lazarus have laying there in the grave? I don't believe he had any. Seeing how the boy was in the grave 4 days and stinketh. And the Lord said, "Lazarus, come out." The boy came out. Good thing he said by name. Everybody would have came out. Through all eternity. But I'm learning more and more to stand in my faith. And by using the name of Christ, whose name is above all names, who has more power in that name than any nuclear weapons we could ever put together. By his word, he spoke everything into existence. The Lord said, "Light." There was light. The Hebrew says, the English we have down, the Lord said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The Hebrew says, the Lord says, "Light." There was light. How much faith do you have? Do you believe that you can pray for someone and see them healed?
Amen.
Do you believe that you can pray for someone away from you and they receive healing?
Yes.
Not just because Pastor Buck said so? You know, the only time Jesus had problems with people receiving healing was because they were too close to him. Isn't this so-and-so that lives down the street? Didn't my kids used to go out and play with him? But it did say, but there were those that were healed, not many. Some of them stuck around and said, went over and talked to Jesus and received healing. Sometimes it's hard for people that are very close to you to receive healing because they know who you really are. They see all your warts. They see all the things that you do and have done. They've known you all their lives. Now, how can this guy, who's been this and that and the other, want to come pray for me and see me get healed? Who do you think you are? I think I'm the Son of God. Thank you. That's who I think I am. And through him, I can do all things. It may take me a little bit longer, but you will be healed. It said many times that Jesus healed all. Everyone that came to him was healed. Every last one that came to him was healed. It said the multitudes had come to him. Do you have to be not a sinner to be healed? Can you be healed with sin in your life? Can you be healed with sin in your life? Well, a lot of church doctrine says that doesn't work that way. We go out and we evangelize and we get someone to come in the church. Praise God, hallelujah, and amen. They come in the front door, they sit down. They've been sitting here for a couple weeks, and then they realize, hey, I need someone to pray for me. I've got this, that, and the other. Comes up front, and they start asking questions. Well, brother, have you given your life to Christ? Yes, I have. Have you been baptized? Yes, I have. Have you quit all sin? No, I've got sin. Well, you dirty dog, get back over there and sit down and wait till later on. You get that cleaned up, then you come back and talk to me. That's not how God does that. In those multitudes that came to him, you think there was at least one sinner in the bunch? You still got to remember that before the covenant. See, everything we see in here is written. Old covenant, almost covenant, then covenant. Then covenant is when he said it is finished. And he went into the grave. And 3 days later, he rose. And he took a bunch of them with him. Look in Matthew 27:50-52. The veil rent, the earthquake, and graves popped open, and they got up and walked around and were seen by many. Took them up as first fruits. Funny, that was the day he rose. The Feast of First Fruits. How about that? God is really good at setting stuff up like that. Think so? Or is it just a coincidence? But people are hurting. People got sin in their life. But you think that disqualifies you from getting healed? No. Because he laid hands on the multitudes. And the multitudes were healed. All that were touched by him was healed. Not 99.9%, 100% were healed when he touched them. Of whatever it was. And we being sons and daughters of the Most High and believers, says we should walk around and there should be signs following us. We should be speaking with other languages, speaking in tongues.
Yes.
Ooh, we're Baptist Church, and you're talking about tongues? Yes. Because it's in His Word.
Yes.
Not once, not twice, but a whole bunch of times. Does that mean I got to stand here and just start blah, 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 blah?
No.
No, not unless I have an interpreter. But when I see someone healed, or I have run out of words, then it's my spirit talking to His spirit. The first word I ever got was Dabba. I'm going, Jiminy Cricket, I'm speaking Flintstone. But I've used that language many times when I didn't have any more words to say.
Amen.
That I didn't know what to say, what to do. And sometimes it sounds like I'm arguing. And sometimes it sounds like I'm pleading. But I know He hears me. I know that He hears me. And I know that He hears me and He shows me by people receiving healing. Like I said, I went to this thing and I saw what I already knew. But I've never seen it laid out the way it was laid out, so succinctly. I understand who I am. But I never understood actually who I really am. I'm a son of the Most High. I'm the son of the Most High. I know my Father's will because He tells me. I talk to my Father and He talks back to me. You talk to God? Yeah. And He talked back to you? Yes. Guys, make that phone call I was telling you about. You know, the one to the rubber room place? Do you talk to God?
Yes.
Does He talk back to you?
Yes.
Sometimes the answer is no. Hello? Hello? This thing ain't working right. I got an answer of no. But it is His will that you be healed. Or He wouldn't have never sent His Son. It is His will that you believe and you give your life to Him. Or He never would have sent His Son. And His Son went willingly. He emptied Himself of His holiness and came and walked on earth with us to prove to us that we could do it.
Amen.
Even when the enemy came to tempt Him, Psalm 91 says you can call the angels down and keep you from bruising your feet. I'll give you everything here. Just bow down and pray to Me. Showed Him the whole world and all the treasures and things therein. And the enemy says, I will give this to you. Thank you, no. Had He accepted it? Plan B. Gotta start all over again. Was it the enemies to give to Christ? Yes. Because when man fell, He took the deed and gave it to the enemy. You know that scroll it talks about there in the Revelation? What scroll do you think that is? It's the deed to the planet Earth. And who was worthy to open that scroll? The Lamb. And who is the Lamb? Jesus Christ is the Lamb who came to take away the sins of the world. Who gave up everything to show us that we could do it. Now, let's just say Miss Betty came up here and laid hands on Richard. Because Richard wasn't feeling so good. Is that possible? Would Richard receive healing? I know Miss Betty. She's a prayer warrior. Her knees hurt a lot because she's down on it quite often. Thank you, Miss Betty. Polly there along with her. As I've said before, if you got an older woman praying for you, give up. Because they don't know how to shut up. They're going to keep talking. And they're going to be telling the Lord, Lord, this one needs help. This one needs that. This one needs this. And I thank you. I thank Betty and Polly for praying for me and watching over me. I thank all y'all for praying for me. Even when you don't want to. Because the Lord will bring me to your mind from time to time. Just as he brings y'all to my mind from time to time. I'll see one of y'all in my driving down the road or be sitting there at work, something, your mind, your name, your face will pop up in my mind. I know right then I need to pray. I know right then that I need to pray. Because something's going on. Or something's fixing to happen and y'all need a little extra protection. Now, I asked a question earlier, do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe that because you're sons and daughters of the Most High that you can come up and pray for people and they receive their healing? Sometimes it takes a little longer. John G. Lake used to have a healing school. He called them divine healing technicians. And to graduate, you would have to go out and lay hands and people would have to receive healing. And you weren't to come back until such time as that person that you were sent to received healing. Some were out for a couple hours, someone would be out for a couple days, someone would be out for 2 or 3 weeks before they came back. But they stayed with it. They stuck with it the whole time. And they continued praying for that person. Smith Wigglesworth didn't give up. His tactics were a little bit rough, from punching an old lady in the gut and watching a 20-pound tumor fall out, to punting a baby across the stage, things of that nature. And then you got the list of Summeralls, and on and on. But then we got the Annas. And the Raphaels and the Marys and the Liddies and the Marks and the Kirks. Can they lay hands on you and you receive healing? Yes. Why? Because the Word says so. And they believe they can. And I'm going to keep practicing. And it may be 21 people I touch before one of them gets healed. It may be the 22nd person, the first 21 people I lay hands on, they may not receive any healing. But number 22 is going to be one happy person. Then I'm going to go back and start with number one again, because he'll be 23. And work on them all. I have laid hands on people and seen them recover. Okay? That doesn't make me anything special. All that makes me is doing the Word of God. And that's what I'm here to tell you about, is doing the Word of God. That's what we're supposed to do. Are you not Christians? And what's Christian mean? Christ-like. With that, I'm going to leave it at the end. Father, I thank you for this day. Father, I ask your word went and fell on fertile ground. Father, let it grow and multiply. Father, I ask right now that your spirit touch everyone here. Father, I ask. Father, I ask that you just touch them. Remind them how much you love them. What you paid for. And Father, let them go out this week. And try. Let them touch someone else. Whether they're at the Walmart. Or the beauty parlor. Or at work, when someone says, I'm sick, I've got a cold, whatever. Let them go over and lay hands and have boldness and go over and lay hands on someone and say, in Jesus' name, you receive your healing. In Jesus' name, receive the healing. Amen. Richard? Right now, the pastor is going to be up front. And anybody?